There's a lot to say when buying a new home or car, but only one thing to say that can help you protect them. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. And just like that, a State Farm agent will be there to help you choose the coverage you need, no matter where you are in life. When you need coverage options, your State Farm agent is there to help, on the phone or in person. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery. Code Wondery.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 127. Wow, I just want to say thank you so much to everyone who watched the Nerdist TV show on BBC America this past weekend. I don't know how many of those people were. I don't know what the ratings were, but I've never seen a response just through Twitter and email and the website for anything ever like this. So I'm overwhelmed, and I cannot thank you enough. So if you watched it, great. If you didn't get to see it, I think you can purchase it on iTunes, the Zune Marketplace, and Amazon. But unfortunately, I think that's only for the United States. So people from other countries are asking how to get it. I don't know how that's going to be available to you guys. Torrent. I don't know. A lot of words come out of my mouth. I don't know what all of them are. So thank you so much to everyone who helped support the show. And, you know, hopefully we'll know something soon. And if we only got to do one, then it was more than my pleasure to do it. And we had a great time, and I'm super grateful. So thank you. Also, we're doing some Nerdist Live shows in New York, Portland, Northampton, Massachusetts, Washington, D.C. So for information and tickets on those are coming up really soon. Go to Nerdist.com and check those out. I'd also like to thank Hover.com as our returning sponsor. Hover is domain registration that is made super, super simple. And now Hover has two new domain services, Premium Domains and Clunker Trade-In. So Premium Domains are anything that can be like shorter domains that might be more simple words that you might want to drive people to your brand with. A clunker trade-in is, let's say you've registered a domain and it's not working for you and you want to upgrade it. If you purchase it at Hover, you can trade it in. They'll take it back. They'll buy it back from you. You'll get credit. And then you can get the new domain that you want. So check out those two new features. Hover is super simple. If you're just registering a regular domain, clean interface. They're really easy to work with. You can actually get people on the phone at customer service. So visit nerdist.hover.com today. They've given us a subdomain. If you need a standard non-premium domain, you can use the offer code Nerdist. Get 10% off. The discount does not apply to premium domains. If you want to find out about that, or if you want to talk about clunkers, then just call their customer service number on the website or email them at help@hover.com. That's nerdist.hover.com. We thank them for their support. And now this episode, this was the Guild cast live, and this was an amazing show that we did at Nerd Melt. Packed room, tons of nerds. Everyone was really excited. Someone actually knitted a cape made out of dicks for me, which was from my stand-up. I keep wanting to post the picture, but it really is a cape with dongs on it that apparently this nice young woman handcrafted each dong. So I am overwhelmed with joy. If you really want to see what a cape made out of dicks looks like, you can tweet at its maker, at sixhatcat. Her name is Sandra, and she was very nice. And it is, I gotta say, it's a well-crafted cape made out of dicks. What am I gonna say? Right? Good is good. So I just want to thank Felicia Day for helping put this together, and Sandeep, who orchestrated everything, and the cast of the Guild, and then everyone at Nerdmelt. The sound quality on this is not amazing, just because we had eight people on mics crammed around a table, and we did our best at Nerdmelt. You were a tiny organization, so rather than saying, hey, fuckface, the audio's not perfect, you could just say, thanks. That would be okay. So, but we had a great time, and I think the crowd had a great time as well. And I just want to let you guys know, what's not recorded is that the Guild cast stayed for a long time after the show and signed stuff for everyone and met people and took pictures. And so it was, and they had just come off of Dragon Con, so everyone was exhausted, but they were enthusiastic and really cool anyway. And so thank you very much to them for doing that. And thanks to you guys for listening. Here it is, Nerdist Podcast episode number 127, The Guild, live at Nerdmelt. P.S. There is a fair bit of swearing in this, probably on my part. So just want to give you a little NSFW, or also not safe for tiny ears warning. I'm sorry, I'll try to clean up the filth. It's just so fun. Shitty tits fuckbag. See?
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Get down there at the other end of the table, Matt and Jonah. Jonah Ray is a giant individual. He can't fit in things. Far too tall for...
Thanks for putting us in, Coach Chris.
Hey, the food is so awesome up here. Do you guys get those chocolates?
No. Oh. But airplane food is real bad, isn't it?
I'm sorry, you guys. Could you fit in there okay?
Maybe. I might go down mid-show. On Jonah. I'll suck his dick, you guys.
Hey, listen. Anything you need to do to satisfy your oral fixation to quit smoking cloves.
That's what? True.
Matthew smokes cloves, you guys.
Yeah.
Matthew smokes cloves.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Not awesome.
That's aggressive.
That's an appropriate collab. Just boom.
Thank
Good
you, sir.
Show.
I will see you at the Cure concert.
Yeah, exactly.
Why are you so far away?
Can you pass me the salt, Chris?
I've never talked to anyone this far away. Yeah.
That's why we have amplification devices in our hands. I asked Matthew earlier, I'm like, you're smoking cloves. You're not inhaling those, are you? And he's like, well, most of the time. I'm like, what the fuck? You're not supposed to... You know there's fiberglass. There's going to make your lungs bleed.
It's fiberglass. It's insulation, Chris.
Yes, it will keep your life
lungs
insulated.
Lungs warm, correct. That's what they're going to do.
All right. I'm not going to listen. I'm not your mom. I'm not going to tell you that, you know.
Not yet.
Shouldn't do.
Yeah.
Adoption papers are filed.
Although, I do feel like there's been a lot of teat suckling lately. Welcome back, ma'am. Welcome back. How was it? Did you guys have fun watching 7 episodes of The Guild?
How about them cameos?
Neil fucking Gaiman!
Neil Gaiman in there.
Oh, my God.
Neil Gaiman up in it.
That's never been said. He was good.
Yeah, he was really good.
Did I spot an Erin Gray in there as well?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I had such a boner for her when Silver Spoons was on. Such a boner. Before I even really knew what a boner was, I was like, that just got larger, and I don't know why.
Yeah, to you, boner was just a character on a sitcom.
What?
Boner was just
Yeah. On Growing Pains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
So, I feel like, you know, we have the cast of the Guild here.
What?
You didn't know that's...
I thought these chairs were just here.
I thought this was some weird nouveau...
Don't think theater. I don't prefer this dynamic.
He's not kidding.
Yeah. Stay far away from me as possible, Matt and Jonah.
Why are we singing?
Because it makes horrible things more palatable.
That's
You're fired.
True.
You're fired. You're
very, piece of shit.
Very fired.
You're piece of shit. I can see.
You have genital herpes. Yeah. What?
Well,
wow. That was so charming.
What?
Yeah, it's a great song. Yeah. And it's also a true diagnosis. We have...
He had a great voice, and I'm really bummed out.
That was so pleasant. All right, so, guys, we don't want to blab on too long because we have the cast of the Guild here, the people that you just literally saw. So let's please welcome to the stage, one by one, as far Jeff Lewis, ladies and gentlemen.
We don't have... Well, there's
Jeff Lewis.
We kind of do.
Jeff Lewis! You can just file on down there. Jeff, you're going to horribly hurt yourself. Is there some way we can not...
Can you push the chairs in.
I just want to get this squared away before we introduce...
Hang on. I got this, guys.
What are you going to do?
I want to do as much as I can without getting up.
Oh, Hercules! Hercules!
This will come out another inch.
I think so.
All right. Yeah. Whoa!
Watch out, my beer, man.
This would be one of those dumb reality shows you watch, like, move that table, and it's a whole show. It's just...
Do we sell them at auction later?
Yes.
We can I will watch it.
With a bunch of Brits and a fucking storage space. As Tink, Amy Okuda as well.
This should be on, yeah.
Hey, Amy. Let me sit down there next to Jeff. Robin Thorson, it's Clara. Hello. As Blades, Vincent Casso.
This is the worst panel ever.
I'm so sorry about this.
Shuffle.
I know.
Shuffle. Okay. Just working.
Okay.
Testing. Just work. Can people get closer to us?
Oh, that's gonna.
I would
break.
Not stand on that chair.
Oh, that was not. Oh, okay. That these chairs are about as powerful. Like, they look like they were made on a 3D plastic printer, where they're very very.
They
flimsy.
Were. I printed them out at home.
Well, you did a nice job
with the new print shop.
Just don't stand on them. Zabu Sandy Parikh. Oh my God. Oh, why? But why? And last but not least, Codex Felicia Day! Thank you, Felicia Day. Oh my God, we need to get you a...
Whoa, wait. Do we need an extra microphone? No.
Wait, what's
good
that?
Good luck. We gotta lose a member of the guild.
Here, go. Oh, okay. Pass that.
I could take off.
We'll take numbers.
We can. Everyone, pass a microphone down, and Matt and Jonah can share. Just like
at home when we do our shows in the dark.
That's right. Hey, everyone! Everyone
that
loves bunk beds.
That microphone really sucked. So
I know.
Perfect.
So it's nice that you got a better one. Welcome, you guys. Thank you so much for being here, yeah. Felicia. You guys just got back from Dragon Con.
Hence the haggard faces of the ladies of the guild.
Glasses, yep.
Nice Amy is where you meant that.
Yeah, Amy Okuda's wearing glasses for the first time ever.
First time ever. Well, that's not even, it's not even because I'm haggard from Dragon Con. I just wanted to wear it because I think Dragon Con made me a little bit nerdier than I was before.
It's true.
I so wanted to go to Dragon Con this year, but I had just been to PAX the weekend before and I didn't have to work. And so I was like, oh, I want to go, but just I travel so much, I didn't think I could make it happen.
No, I actually saw you at PAX because I was in Vancouver, and I was like, I'm going to go to a convention as a tourist. And I have to say, I'd never been to a convention just to have fun, and PAX was a blast because I just actually played games versus I worked all the time.
Yeah, I did the same exact thing. I had no official work there, and I just went, and we went to GameWorks, and
it's really fun.
We had a lot of fun times.
Wine. Okay.
It wasn't like... In Chicago, though, where you rented a white SUV laser limo.
Okay. All right.
We did a con in Chicago, and Felicia was like, we're going to go out to dinner.
It wasn't me. Jeff Lewis.
It was Edgar.
Yeah, it was Edgar, my webmaster, Edgar Spoony, E.G. Spoony. And he was like, I'm going to take us out on the town. I'm like, okay, what does that mean? I didn't know we were near the airport. And he was like, I got to get a limo. And I was like, okay. We walk out, Jeff Lewis, me, Edgar, and you. And we see this stretch white SUV limo with a laser show and one of those.
One of those
balls.
The
lasers never stopped inside. So even at the end of the night when we were tired, our faces just kept getting tracked by these lasers. And there was like a plasma thing in there, like a plasma ball. And
it was very awkward.
It was that limo, when you look at that, you're like, this is why the world hates America.
It's true.
Was that limo just like being in Rainforest Cafe?
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, same thing.
But it was fun.
I mean, it was almost like I wanted to flaunt it a little bit. So then we went to this fancy cocktail place that had this very quiet maitre d' out front. I'll see if I can see your party. He was very proper. So I was like, Edgar, when we left... I was like, Edgar, get the white SUV. And it pulls up, and the guy's like, hello. Is that your car? He totally dropped the act. And I was like, come on, I have lasers. I'm from L.A.
And where did he seat us? He seated us like 2 feet inside the door.
Yeah.
Next to the broom closet, standing.
By the way, it should be noted, we waited for 40 minutes in the rain to get into this place. It was supposed to be
super. And limo driver has no umbrella.
Nope.
Well,
that
it's a white
car
SUV.
Does not come with an umbrella.
Nope. Just lasers.
Just lasers.
Hey, maybe the light can knock some of the raindrops away from your face. Nope, not this time. We all got soaked. But it was fun. Chicago. It was fun.
Convention stories. They're endless.
I mean, have you? So you guys all went to Dragon Con?
Yeah. Yes.
Just the ladies.
They did.
Just the ladies.
You went, Sandeep.
Jeff and I went last year with Sean, and I'm still drunk from that. It was really, really fun.
Yeah, the boys were infamous at Dragon Con. Every single person we met talked about Sean Becker and Sandeep and Jeff.
Yeah.
Well, Becker was especially. He's the director of the show, and that dude just did not sleep. I mean, he went.
We were roommates. He came in at 6 a.m. and had to be up at 7 a.m. to do more editing.
And he keep coming in with like the weirdest or most interesting people too, like the kid who played the young Boba Fett from the Star Wars.
Why is he bringing kids back to your room? That's not even remotely
okay.
Well,
not the actual kid. Yeah. Well, it was the actual kid, but he's grown up. He's like of drinking age now. Listen, he's of legal age.
Okay.
What we did to that child. I mean, adult. Oh, boy.
We aged him to the legal limit.
Oh, boy. Well,
but last year, we didn't get to go, and I knew the guys that were at the Dragon Con, and then I was on Twitter, like, maybe Saturday night, and somebody tweeted at me, hey, are these guys with you? And I got a twit pic that somebody had found where there are two girls who were not clothed making out on the floor of a hotel, and in the background, photobombed are Sandeep and Jeff like this.
Some really good Photoshop work, because we were definitely not there. We were there. But, yeah, so, I mean, at one point, we were just, we're on the floor with Phil Lamar and Sean and Jeff, and we're just, like, talking and being normal, and then these girls come up.
Talking, being normal.
Just being normal.
Wouldn't it be too great if two girls lesed out on the floor right now? Whatever, just stuff normal guys talk about.
I mean, I wish just everything I said came true, but that's not the case. That's not what we were talking about, but that is what happened. These two girls just started completely making out in front of us, and then we were like, haha, we're drunk, and we're taking pictures of them, and then Phil leans in, like, over our shoulders, like, hey, you guys realize you're in the background of every single one of those dudes' pictures, right? And then we just, like, meekly back away into the audience. We're like, oh, shit.
So it actually became an audience. Like,
it was like a full-fledged circle of just nerddom of people who just wanted to see two girls make out.
You think it's going to be awesome when people start getting down to business in public, but it's
super
awkward. It's
awkward.
I was at a party once at a house, and on the front lawn, this couple started making out in the grass, and I came outside because the person had lost their dog, and so I went out to find the dog. And I go up.
Sure.
Find the dog is my code word for watch people fuck. Yeah. So I go like a block away, and I can't find the dog, and I come back, and their pants are down, and he's just railing her under the only street lamp on the street. And so I freeze like a deer in the wild, and I see the dog on the other side of the couple, and it comes up, and just, I'm like, come here. And then and the dog stopped and sniffed their asses, and... This
Chris,
was pre-YouTube.
That would have been the perfect time to just start yelling at the dog, come, come, come. The guy's like, I know, man.
They were not deterred at all by the dog. What a horrible, horrible time.
Oh, boy. But the ladies, we represented at Dragon Con, too.
I think we did.
Yeah.
Well, it was hard because everyone that we met automatically said, oh, I partied with Jeff and Sandeep and Sean. And I'm like,
lots to live
okay,
up to.
Thanks.
So the bar was set high.
Yeah, like, oh, I talked to you on the phone because Sean drunk dialed you. It's like, oh.
I did see those pictures, though. I did see those pictures of you guys behind two dudes making out.
Yes.
It was crazy. Okay, it was crazy.
And that same dog was there.
So it's... He's a vagina hound. He finds wherever there's
public sex.
That's his superpower.
You know what's amazing? Well, first of all, Jeff, I've known you for years because you were part of Acme, the Acme comedy.
Yes. I used to go see you and Steve Callahan at UCLA Comedy.
Yeah.
Thank you. She goes everywhere with me and just puts the mic closer. Yeah, at UCLA Comedy, like... at least 40 years ago.
Yeah, and then you, Jeff has, it must be somewhere on YouTube, Jeff has what I think may be one of the filthiest sketches in all of sketch comedy, which was...
It's possible.
Infamous at Acme Comedy Theater. Do you want to describe it a little bit?
I just come in a girl's face for 7 minutes.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I don't want to.
That's
can get,
what
I can
got
be,
him cast.
I can explain it, but I think that pretty much sums
it up. I think you should set it up a little. I mean, that's the payoff.
I'm having sex with my wife. She says, "Comb my face." I say, "All right." So I start coming in her face for 7 minutes.
Well, they're
and
under.
She gets a phone call, and she reads a book, and she.
They're under a sheet on a bed on the stage, and Jeff's just like, "Okay, where do you want it?" And then it shoots out from under the covers for a full 7 minutes.
I eventually I come in my own face. So that's where it. That's where it ends up.
I'm gonna go.
Nope. And Sandeep used to run a great comedy show called Effin' Funny.
Yeah, the website lives on. The internet will not get rid of a website if you put it up. No, I ran a show and you, sir, and Mike Fearman did the show several times, actually.
Yeah,
and
we did.
Came in as Hard and Firm, and you guys were.
It was a lot of fun.
We put like little, did a stand up show and then cut up little clips of everybody's favorite bits, and then we put them online, and people would watch them.
You've always been an enterprising young nerd, you.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
Trying to make money off other people's talents.
Welcome to America. So, Vince, what was your background? How did you get involved with the guild?
Wow, I hate to follow those stories. I have nothing exciting at all, actually. I had done no acting except for one indie film that shot in Utah.
Which I auditioned for. And they ended. I auditioned for that role. Did you ever know that?
What? You guys auditioned for the same role?
For my role?
No. I auditioned for that movie. And they end up casting the woman in the little scooter.
That could have been you.
That could have been me. And they hired like a woman. A woman who was like 500 pounds and 75 years old. So it was between me and her.
No, she was actually about 35 and maybe 110, 120.
Really?
Yeah.
They lied to me.
What's just the movie called?
Well, God.
And that was American Fork. It's Humble Pie now. But after that, I literally just got called by my agent. And they're like, "Hey, you have this audition for a 30-minute pilot." And I'm like, cool. God sent the script. I'm like, wow, this is funny. Kind of raunchy, but okay. I went out for it, and you liked me.
What the heck? Your agent told you that it was only 3 minutes? My agent didn't tell me anything. they made it sound like it was a TV pilot when I auditioned for it.
I mean, technically.
What?
That's what I got told, too. It's a 30-minute pilot for a TV series.
Guys,
Amy doesn't know that it's not on TV.
Oh, my God. Shh. Amy, your TV show is so good. Are you going to the Emmys?
Amy,
you guys are on right after Lopez tonight, right?
So Amy, so you auditioned for the show.
I did, yeah. My agent sent me on it, and I thought it was a TV pilot. And I told the story like a million times, but I actually had to go to this rehearsal like the morning after my senior prom, and I already knew at the time that I had to go to this rehearsal that I wasn't getting paid and it was a YouTube video. So at that point, I should have known it was too good to be true. I didn't even get a callback. I just booked it after the first audition, and yep. I should have known it was too good. But right out of high school, and I really didn't want to go. But it was the first acting audition that I actually got, and my agent was literally like, "You have to go." I'm pretty sure if I didn't go, they would have just dropped me, even though they weren't going to get paid anyway.
Well, it sounds like you had a lot of enthusiasm for the project from the get-go.
I didn't at first. I really didn't. But, I mean, if I didn't stick it out,
it wasn't glamorous.
Really,
it was always in my house. I always made sure that we had bagels. And
these high school kids today. I don't get to go right on a TV show. I just got to make an internet video. We didn't have the internet when I was your age.
It's true. We had pride.
Yes, you had MTV, Chris.
See?
I think that's a burn.
A little bit.
No. And then Robin, what about you?
I auditioned as well. I had just finished college, and it's kind of like Amy's story. But it wasn't a prom or high school. It was just college. And well, not just college, that's pretty exciting.
And you were excited about it, too.
I was very excited. I was stoked because I really liked the breakdown. The role for Clara said, "Ditzy ex-cheerleading mom who's kind of neglectful." And I was like,
I can do that. So, yeah, I auditioned, and I think I did pretty good. And it was really, really awesome because I think you called, Felicia, you called after the audition and left a message. I don't think I picked it up, but you, I don't know, I'm sure you did that for everybody, but.
No.
She didn't leave me.
No. No.
Awkward. Well, I just remember that, you know, you were the hardest role to find, and we actually almost didn't call you in, but a girl dropped out, and then I was like, let's call in that woman, who, because you had a headshot with, like, a cooking spoon.
Oh, yeah, it was awful. That was, like, my first headshots ever. I don't want to talk about it. My first headshots ever.
We have to see
my
this.
My agent was like, no, they're destroyed. They're not in
Tell
existence
the story.
Ever, I don't think.
The internet is forever. It's somewhere.
Someone
my agent
it.
Was like, okay, you need to do something like either like a chef or, you know, a doctor. I don't know. And then a goth.
A
and
I'm chef like, or a doctor?
Yeah, and then wait. But then he's like, she's like, yeah, maybe a goth because you could totally play a goth. I was like,
did you have a headshot for every profession?
I have no, it was, I don't know.
You had a chef's hat? You had a chef's hat?
No, it wasn't a chef's hat. It was just like a stupid, first of all, it wasn't even the whole garb. It was literally a wooden spoon. And I think an apron. And I was like, ooh, like it was so ridiculous.
Hey, look at this woman. She's a spoon collector.
Yeah, it was
no,
very, very
she's
weird.
A chef.
I just thought it was so weird. I was like, well, call her in.
Yeah.
Because I was like, just on a whim. Because I was like, I had a good instinct about you.
Oh, thank you. Because
you had that spoon in your hand. You knew yourself.
I had no idea.
And I'm so glad, because when you walked in, it was like, oh, there she is.
Where did you get the money for the first season?
Nowhere.
You scraped it all
together. Under my couch.
So you actually funded everything yourself.
Yes, me and Kim Eby, my producer and the director, we got together, and we were like, we were just going to split this, and we were going to make it for as little as possible. We borrowed Sandeep's cameras from F and Funny.
Indeed. The same ones you were shot on.
Oh, my God. I knew so I felt a kinship.
Yeah. And that's it. I mean, that was for a whole year. Nobody got paid. We started doing a PayPal where people would donate. So after episode 3, we actually paid for, you know, a little, like a sound person and a makeup person and you know, food.
Yeah.
We weren't paying for food out of our pocket. But other than that, you know, the whole first season was completely, these guys work for free. So,
There's a lot of hoagies.
Yeah, I was just going to say the hoagie sandwiches.
Like,
and
breakfast,
like,
lunch, and dinner was hoagies.
Every single day we had hoagies. It's like, it's really good. And it was good for the first, like,
two times.
One or
like
two.
Felicia
she bought them at Sam's Club and then had to just keep until they were gone.
It's been years since I bought the hoagies. They won't let it die. I thought they were tasty. I thought everybody liked
them.
They
were really good.
Thank you.
I mean, they were good. It's not like they were not good sandwiches, but
it was your uncle's hoagie store or something.
It's amazing that, I mean, your show has more views than a lot of television shows. I mean, like, is it the number one most downloaded web series?
I mean, definitely on Xbox. I would say that there's some YouTube shows that, but you know, as far as scripted shows, we're definitely up there. We have over like 110 million.
It's not,
views.
Yeah. I mean, it's not. You can't
way
compete
over.
With like cat farts or whatever.
Yeah, we can't
you
compete
know,
with like, black.
It's a damn
no
good show.
Scripted thing will
that
ever
be. Cats fart on cakes.
Yeah.
Cats fart on cakes.
Oh, cat cake farts. Yeah, cat cake farts. You will. Does that? I mean, it's funny that we, you know. We kind of see this opportunity to, hey, we can just make our own stuff, and technology has made it so that we can do that and deliver it to people, and we can go around the, you know, the infrastructure of studio madness. But at the same time, you still can't ever compete with like a baby shitting on the floor or
I mean, a baby shitting on the floor as a web series, like episode 25 might not get that many views. You know,
oh, actually, that's the best episode.
Oh, 25.
It's when the shit becomes self-aware.
I think Nathan Fillion shows up in that episode, too.
You have to watch 20. That would be a fucking brilliant if someone did 24 episodes of just a baby shitting on the floor, and just as a reward for sticking with it, and the 25th one, the show gets super weird and just starts talking back to the baby. Oh, that would be fucking amazing. Someone's going to do that now.
Jeff's going to do it with his baby.
I'm going to have the shit take a shit.
Meta shit.
It's like the inception of shit web series.
You gotta go.
Are we still in the shit, man?
Yeah, what feels like a year long shit here is only like a 10 minute shit up the top level. So what? I mean, you know, now you guys have this career and people know who you are and the shows, and it's fifth season and you're about halfway. Are you doing 13 episodes this season?
12.
You're doing 12.
Yeah, we just passed our halfway mark last week. So we are entering the back half of our season, and it seems to, you know, it's interesting doing a web series because it's so different from television. I mean, people yell at us for, like, tweeting about the spoiler from episode 3. How dare you? I'm like, on your convenient schedule, I should never acknowledge the contribution of this person who came out and worked for nothing.
We should band together and create a standard of spoiler rules.
Yeah, what is the standard? Because I tweeted about Nathan being on last week's episode because I was like, well, it's a week later. And I got reamed. I'm like, dude, what?
Once it's public, I mean, you're done.
Yeah. We got reamed when we had Julie Benz on, and I was like, oh, you know, when your character died in Dexter, and people wrote on the website, what the fuck, bro? And I'm like, that was 2009. Yeah, like, and it was a news story, and fuck you in the face. Like,
and fuck you in the face. That's always a good
argument.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like, you know, I try to be respectful of shows that are current now, maybe, you know, because now we're in a culture where people like to wait till the season's over and then watch everything at once. But if it's anything before the current season, it's like, come on, you know?
But what about, like, the last episode? Like, I feel like, you know, because we do need people to watch the show on schedule because our sponsor is Xbox. So,
right.
You know, it doesn't help me if you watch it on Netflix or YouTube in order to make another season. And I try to explain that, but I can only explain it every thousand times.
Well, people don't understand. Like, we're so spoiled as consumers now. It's just like, I can watch whatever I want whenever I want.
And you're
like, no, I kind of need you to watch this then. What?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. What are you saying to me?
Is your season out already? Wait. Yeah. It's very challenging in order to be able to, because, you know, not that we're trying to pimp our friends out, but, you know, little.
I think most of that is the vocal minority. Like, it's mostly.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, at least when I discovered that the show was going somewhere special was when we had fans donate to the show. And those are the fans that kind of stay quiet and just, you know, sit back and they're like, I'm going to put $100 to see another episode of this show. They won't do that for Two and a Half Men.
Right.
They'll do it for this show. I mean, it's true. Like, and that's when I knew, I was like, damn it, we have, like, something super.
That'd be weird if Two and a Half Men set up a donation page.
They probably need
it. We got to pay Ashton Kutcher. It's a lot of money.
$700,000 an episode. It's true.
That's insane.
Thank you. Amy still, would be the only one with the truth.
Still it's half of what they were paying Charlie Sheen, though.
Yeah, Charlie Sheen was 2.2, was it?
Oh, was he?
We
Holy
all know
shit.
This. Wow, that's a lot of money every week.
He was the highest paid on TV.
That's insane.
He'd be in a donation for him to just take a shit. You want a web series, I'll just take a
shit. Hey, it's the Charlie Sheen shitting Kickstarter page. Guys, if we get $700,000, Charlie Sheen's going to take a crack shit on the floor right here. Episode 25, it becomes self-aware. Who's in? Who's in Shitstarter? We're going to start a Shitstarter campaign.
If I donate $1,000, can I watch it in person?
Hang on a sec.
Oh, I just need to know.
No, wait. This is a good idea. Shitstarter is, we see how much money it will take for certain celebrities to shit in public. And the money goes to charity. So it's like,
brilliant.
You know, $700,000.
I don't know where my price point would be. I don't know. It would be high.
There, you know what, though? Everyone's super snooty about it, but you're like, no. And then it was like $2 million. Like, well, I feel like I could make it cool. Like, you feel like, you feel like.
That's your price, $2 million.
$2 million.
Is that your price?
I feel like $2 million would be my price.
It would be a boom to the Japanese stock market. They'd do it.
Don't do
what?
It.
What? Guys.
Jeff Lewis, what's your price for taking a shit in public?
Free.
He'll pay you. Cool.
Wow. Just thinking about that.
I mean, yeah, I'd have to put some deep thought into that.
Oh, boy. Think about the, you know.
I mean, are they actually going to see the butt?
You can donate that money and save people.
What? Are you really considering this now?
Yeah, I'm just thinking about.
Well, no, hang on. I mean, if you know.
They're actually going to see the butt.
Yeah, they need to. You need to see face.
Well, you know, with well, here's the thing. With Kickstarter, there are different levels. Like, if a person donates $100,000, you get to see it come out. if it's like, you know, just like $100, like, okay, you get to see the aftermath, but you don't actually get to see the thing happen.
Can the shit make a donation? Like, in piles of shit.
When it becomes self-aware.
Yeah.
So, I want to shift the focus a little bit. There's a lot of there are a lot of starving children in Somalia, and But what's always amazed me about you, Felicia Day, and something that I think is inspirational to other people who want to just go out and kind of make their own thing is that, I mean, how do you sort of balance on a show like this where you're writing it and producing it and you're acting in it and you're involved with the editing? Like, how do you resolve all that?
You become an insane woman. You just work. I mean, you work nonstop. There's no time at which, you know, up until like 2 years ago, we didn't even have anybody doing the Guild Twitter. So I did all the accounts and updated the website. And, you know, we have a wonderful person, Brian Kamioka, who does that now, who's our kind of our social.
He's right there.
He's right there.
Brian Kamioka.
Thank you, Brian, for saving a little bit of my life. But other than that, you know, it's just constant work. People just think, hey, it's a chick who's pretending to game. You know, we say that online a lot, and it's somehow that's going to be a magic wand to make you popular on the internet. But, like, it was not easy. I mean, I had the amazing support of, like, the Buffy fan base, the Joss Whedon, you know, Browncoats and everybody. Yes. I mean, that was a huge advantage in launching the show and then being a gamer. But, you know, to be honest with you, the WoW forums were the nastiest ones the first season. They were just like, go die. I'll watch it. You know, I hate your show, you poser. I mean, they were the – so it was just literally persistence and just keeping going, even though it wasn't necessarily that hugely popular until, like, episode 3 or 4. I just, like, had faith, and I just wanted to keep doing it because I was so fulfilled by the people who did love the show, which was most of them. And just being able to have that kind of connection to the community and just feeling I'm making something that's, you know, nobody else could tell this story because it's so personal to me. So I want to keep doing it. So I would, like, literally, we had bookmarks made up, and I was like, hey, dentist, here's my bookmark. Watch my web show. Hey, random person, hey, here's a toilet. I'll put 5 of them here. You know, I was a zealot. I was a zealot about my own show. And I guess if you don't give up and just keep making stuff, you know, there was a tipping point in which we just kind of got some lucky momentum, and, you know, the hard work paid off.
Well, I don't know if it's – I mean, it's not – I mean, anyone could get, like, one moment of luck. But, you know, yeah. if people weren't – if the show didn't resonate with people, it certainly wouldn't continue to grow.
Absolutely. Marketing can't just get anything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's, like, big companies all the time. They're like, oh, let's throw a bunch of money at it. And they're like, okay, people heard about your thing for a minute. But ultimately, they're not going to watch it if it's not good and it's not something that people want to watch.
Yeah, I always know that. I mean, I think that's kind of cool thing about the internet. Like, you could tweet something and you know, the world will decide whether it's good.
Right.
I mean, you know, they'll you can tell if something's going to go viral or, like, really get popular because of how people respond. Just because you have millions of Twitter followers doesn't mean it's going to go anywhere.
Right.
It has to resonate. And I can always tell, like, oh, people are going to retweet that. People are going to spread this along because that was just a really funny cat video.
Yeah.
Or that was a great taco that I gave them a picture of. You know, they're really going to spread that around. Versus, like, something like, hey, can you please link to my web series? I'm like, okay, maybe I'll do that for you because I personally like it, but I don't know if other people are going to pass it on. But, you know, so that's kind of the unique thing about the internet. No matter how much money you have, you can't really buy people.
It is a meritocracy. Like, yeah. it really is. And that's kind of what is nice about it is that what's exciting to me is that it's a completely level playing field.
That's what, yeah, because, you know, you lived in the Hollywood world, and I did too, and, like, it's not a meritocracy.
Yeah.
It's just not. So, like,
old MTV's Chris Hardwick living the Hollywood lifestyle. Hey, I'd like to get into this club. You don't know who I am. I'll keep walking the other way. Never had that before. I mean, like, do you feel, you know, do you go to a lot of, like, mainstream events, do you guys? In terms of, like, these are Hollywood parties. And they're like, it's the Guild cast.
No. No.
No. I don't get invited anywhere.
No. Yeah, no.
Yeah,
well, no, I mean, I do.
Absolutely
it's mostly
not.
Video game parties. I think we cross over into the video game world a lot. But, like, yeah. As far as, like, more mainstream stuff, like...
Cons really are the thing for us. It's just a lot of the conventions.
Yeah.
And how many have you been to at this point?
Oh, my God. We've done Comic-Con every year for how many years now? Is it
4.
4 years? Yeah. Same with BlizzCon. You guys have done DragonCon a few times.
Yeah, we did Calgary.
WizardCon, Calgary, Chicago.
Dozens and dozens of conventions we've done.
PAX, Emerald City.
Because that's where we can go to get people to buy us free drinks. So we do. That rings especially true for Robin.
I'm a big fan of that one.
What about you guys? Amy, Robin, you were just in high school, so to say, like, oh, your background was in comedy. Like, you were a kid when you started the show, right?
I was a senior in high school. Vince was, like, 5.
Vince was still in utero, I think.
12, yeah.
I was, I think, 4 14 or 15? 14 when I started, yeah.
I was like, oh, is your mom going to let you say rim job or something? It was something like, is your mom cool with this? Yeah. She was cool with it. I just
they love it. They love it.
Yeah.
They enjoy it.
I mean, like, the funny thing about our show is that we will get recognized. I mean, I personally get recognized on a regular basis, but they're always, you know, regular people. Like, people like, high five, hey, what's up? You know, like the barista at the Starbucks will be like, I love your show. Like, if I go to a fancy Hollywood meeting, those guys don't know anything about it. They're like, well, that's cute.
Yeah.
But that's that's the coolest thing. It's like a secret club. So it's like you never know where
they are. You're on the internet then. Like, they always kind of talk down.
That's
sweet. I'm telling you, but it's going to even out because the same way that the film industry, like, looked down and still looks down at television.
Oh, yeah.
But it's, you know, like, television ended up being as powerful as film. And the internet, like, when you think about the numbers of people that are involved, it's billions of people have access to the same content.
But they don't want to pay attention to it because they can't, like we just said, they can't control it. So they're afraid of it. They don't, they until they can figure out how to corral people and make them do what they want, they're not going to jump in there because the very definition of paying for this stuff is advertisers getting people to buy their things, right?
Yeah.
So corral and make buy and then get stuff gets made. I mean, it's kind of an interesting conundrum. They don't know how to make money off of it because they don't know how to corral people properly. So, which I hope they never figured out. I really do. Because it's a much, you know, a more awesome world when you can have a website.
Yeah.
I love that. That was the
Thank
Lucas
you.
Clap.
So clap.
That was the Lucas clap
the
from
Lucas. Clap. Is that what you just said? That was so good.
Yeah. Just one slow clap.
That's hilarious.
That kid's going to get crushed, but let's help him out. You know who was in Lucas? Charlie fucking Sheen. Yeah, that's right. Oh, fuck. And that was a callback to an earlier episode of the podcast. That was a meta callback. That's really awesome. Are you guys, are you auditioning for other stuff, or what's...
Well, I just graduated college a couple months ago.
Congratulations! Where did
Thank
you go?
You. I went to USC, and I keep looking over at this guy with the Bruins shirt, and it's making me uncomfortable.
Well, I went to UCLA, but it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, but I went to USC, I was a film major.
Nice.
I think I'm gonna, do the whole acting and auditioning thing, and I have been going out here and there, so hopefully.
I mean, there's no better education, especially in this with what we're doing than what you guys are doing,
because
you're on the front lines of it. You know, you're making it's not like someone just telling you like, oh, go do this and stand there. Like, you're involved in the process. So do you feel like this is something that you guys are going to pursue? Like, you're creating your own content.
I'm
going to move on, Chris, to something else.
No.
I'm going to sell furniture. I'm announcing this tonight. It's just not working out.
Well, I mean, Jeff's got you on the 5-minute comedy hour and stuff, and which is a great show.
Jeff Lewis, 5-minute comedy hour.
But I just want to go back on one thing. Just as much as Hollywood, the higher ups and that sort of that whole group tends to look down on this kind of stuff, I've also been contacted by a lot of people, producers and whatnot, who really dig what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I've had one guy who's actually running the American division of one of the largest production companies in the world. He contacted me and he's like, dude, I love the deal. I want to get you in on some stuff. I'm pitching this to HBO and I'm making this cartoon. I'm attaching you to both. So let's have some fun. I'm like, fuck, dude.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Okay, cool. It's just been so many opportunities.
Dinner's on
this.
You, Vince.
Yeah.
I said they're being pitched.
Yeah. No, but that's exciting. No, it is cool because you're right. Like, to be honest with you, like, no, I'm not saying everybody in Hollywood is bullshit. No, obviously not. And I think a lot of the creative people on the Hollywood ends are very aware of what's going on, like writers and showrunners and, like, the creative end. It's more the business end that is slower to catch up because they don't see the money there. But for real, like, a lot of, like, writers on staff and TV shows and, you know, I mean,
that's why we got all the cameos this season. Wasn't because of the awesome money that we were offering them and the cool trailers.
Yeah.
It was because they, like, saw this, you know, young upstart show and they were like, I want to be a part of this.
Yeah, they're
you know?
Totally cool. They were like, can I be in your show? I had too many celebrities. I was like, I cannot put you in this season. They were like, why am I not on the show? I'm like, I don't know.
Celebrities like, Will Wheaton? How did you get Will involved?
I thought he was
going
to drop from the ceiling the way you said that.
That's amazing.
I was looking for Will.
I know. But like the trapdoor doesn't work and it hangs him and kills him. And we're like, Jesus Christ, this was supposed to be a celebration. This is my Will impersonation because we were, I've known Will for a long time. He's so fucking good. He's so good.
He's really, really, really funny. We were dancing with him at DragonCon.
Yes, got Will Wheaton to dance in a kilt. We were at dinner at DragonCon. He's like, oh, I'm not going to go dancing. I'm just going to have dinner and go to sleep. I'm old. And then I was like, no, we're going dancing. We're going dancing. And then
he would
we
not
went
stop
dancing.
Dancing. He and Amy were partnering.
He wanted to stay longer
after
than
after
us.
Every 80s song played, he's like, okay, we're going to go after this one. And then like Come On Eileen came on. He's like, oh my God! This is my childhood! Like, so funny
we could not get
that's
him
his song
song
is Come On
no,
Eileen.
No, I mean, no, like, there were like a whole... There was a whole slew of 80s songs.
Yeah, they were great. I mean, I didn't want to go either. But
this song was number one when I was on Tiger Beat. I gotta dance.
He actually was selling a picture of himself from Tiger Beat at PAX.
That is so funny.
It was amazing. I almost wanted to buy one.
Well, because he rejected so much when he was a teenager. He hated all that stuff. He was so bitter about
really?
It. Yes.
He would love it.
He'd get a list of all the teen magazines that they wanted to interview him.
Yeah.
And he was just so teenage and bitter. He'd be like, fuck that. Fuck Tiger Beat. Fuck this one. Fuck this one. I'm not doing this one. Fuck that. Okay, I'm done. Like, he was so bitter about it. And I love, it makes me so happy now that he's embracing, because that was, you know, Will was such an important part of our culture when we were growing up. And
I
it always bummed me out that he rejected
like,
it.
Yeah. Him and I wanted both of them, Riker and him, at the same time.
Fanfic, that's out there.
It's like eight years old. You're just in love with everybody on TV, and it was just like the whole cast of that show. I was in love with all of them. Anyway, it's awkward.
Sorry, son. Ensign takes the front door. All right. What? Come on. Riker has rank. Riker has rank. Riker totally has rank. I'm not wrong.
Just letting you go out there, Chris.
So what do you guys, like, what, are there celebrities that you, I know it's so hot in here, I'm so sorry. I want to have take a few audience questions in a minute. So if you guys have questions, start getting them in your mind, and then like 5 minutes, then we'll go out to you guys. Oh, you guys looked at each other like, I knew this day would come. Like, you totally, I was prepared. And like a toilet paper roll with Bic pen writing on it, just filled. Is there anyone that you want to get on the show that you haven't been able to get on the show yet?
You?
You've never asked me. I would be on your show in a fucking heartbeat.
I'll write you something next season.
Okay.
If we get picked up.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be fucked up if she already knows that they're not going to come back next season. Like, no, I'll get you on next season. Whatever happened? Oh, I was fucking with you.
You were in the background of that comic panel, remember?
No, I'll totally come on. If you write something for me, I would absolutely come on. But anyone else that you guys?
My son.
Oh.
Yeah, my son. Get my son a show.
I've been asking to put my dog on the show since, like, season one. And season four, you know how you guys were looking at the dog videos online on the computer? I sent Sean Becker an amazing video of my dog just for a little tiny cameo that no one will ever remember. They didn't even put it in.
And then,
I have no
and then a headshot of your dog holding a wooden spoon.
Okay.
And then on the resume, it's like, likes to watch people fuck in public. What's that dog?
Oh, my God, what? It's all tying back together.
Oh, baby.
It's all
that was like an Arrested Development.
Yes. So you guys have five episodes left in the season. You have five seasons left.
Nice. It's like I'm excited for five more seasons, but also like, wow, you're just like predicting the end.
I love that.
Like, you have five seasons left.
Yep.
Ten seasons. Of the Guild.
Start planning. Yeah. So the next two seasons you'll spend on the island, and then the next season. Hi, Damon. So I love Damon. So what do you, if you had your choice, would you just keep making the show, or do you feel like, you know, at a certain point we should, you know?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I would never want people to be like, that show, nobody wants to watch that. I mean, I would
season 60. Come on, Clara, let's go.
I'll be in my wheelchair.
Get our walkers and
I can't get over there.
But guys, don't you know that our generation, we're going to be the generation of like elderly gamers?
That's true.
So
except
I don't
that,
see
like in the whatever in the future it'll be like the Hypercube and we won't understand it. You'll be like, how do you download apps to this? And they're like, apps, you old piece of shit.
It's like when you it's like when you drive down Wilshire and you see that lawn bowling park and you're like, look at those old people. That'll be us that's playing it. Angry Birds.
Yeah. Grandpa doesn't even know how to use his thought lasers. That's silly. Well, that's what happened. If you guys just do a couple more seasons, then you can come back and do like the Guild 2049, where everyone's like a big reunion special.
And our kids fall in love, and we're like, aw.
Ah, that's adorable. No, your kids are all jocks. Like, get the fuck out of here, Dad.
Yeah.
Fuck. I wanna go out to the audience for a second. So you, I noticed you right away seem to have a question. So let us.
Oh, he's roaming. He's roaming, guys.
I'm coming into the crowd. Just like Phil Donahue. Women's lib, go! What's your name?
Chris.
What's your question? Hey, buddy.
Chris is sitting.
Hey, buddy. What's going on? This is a fun Odd thing for the people who came to the live show. No one who listens to the podcast.
I refuse to be in the background of that picture.
Oh, this is for Sandeep. All right. What's your question?
He's breathless. He's.
Is that a packet of certs in your packet? What's your question?
Scoot on over.
Oh, come on now. Don't turn into Matt Myra. All right.
I'm sorry.
Wait, what? I didn't catch that.
Don't worry about it.
Oh.
You seemed so sure of yourself before.
He did.
Yeah, before you sat on him.
Yeah. Is this because I'm sitting on him?
It might be.
All right. How about now? How about now? I'm kneeling. What is your question? Would you like to ask one? Am I too close to your motherfucking face? Scruff kiss.
Right. Wait, Chris.
Sorry. Okay.
Does your dog like to have play dates? Because we have a dog.
I love play dates. Actually, we have birthday parties for my dog every year.
I'm her dog's manager, so I got my iPad out and schedule
this. Actually, yes. Well, yeah, we have dog parties all the time, and we have like doggy birthday cakes, and everyone brings presents, and we just have like neighbors' dogs over
Jesus
and like her
Christ,
her babies.
For the love of God.
But about the agent, my dog was gonna get an agent. There's a dog agent near my house, and I took her there one time. And she did so good.
I think those are called rapists.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm a dog agent. Do you want to...
No, I actually, it's legit. I saw it on Girls Next Door. It's so legit.
Yes, the arbiter of all that is legitimate.
Okay. We love our Amy Acuda.
It's so true. And they loved my dog because she's mixed. So she looks, you know, she's really cute. And... She did so good, did all her tricks and everything, but then they made me leave the room to see how she does without me, and supposedly she freaked out, and then they told me that she had low self-confidence because she couldn't function without me.
Oh, well, if that's the case, your dog should go into dog porn. Weird thing is, there's only one position.
Human style.
Hey guys, did you see the front page of Suicide Dogs today?
Oh God,
so good.
The dog with that,
the dog with the little Betty Page haircut.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that your question, dog playmates? Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Oh, you with the tattooed arm, come up here because I can't reach that far back with the microphone. Harry. Oh my God. Oh please. Oh Jesus Christ. What is this? What are you hiding behind you? Is it a gun that shoots anthrax? What is it?
What is it?
So, you and Will Wheaton had a conversation at Comic-Con about a cape made of dicks.
Oh!
What the?
Oh.
Oh
my God.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
There is a cape made of dicks in front of me.
Wow.
Do you realize this could turn me into some kind of weird sex porcupine? Like...
Oh, don't go near it, Felicia!
I'm pregnant.
Hey, guys, I've always wanted to make the front page of Reddit.
I think one of those.
I mean, both. It's a lot.
I like how the camera crew is getting this, even though there's no way this could be on TV.
Hey, everyone, let's not get crazy with the cameras. I just... Okay, I get it. I put on a cape with dicks on it, and suddenly you're paparazzi. Do you guys want to go to Toy across the street afterwards?
I think one of those are mine.
This is astonishingly lifelike.
They're various sizes.
Why am I allowing this to happen? Why am I allowing this to happen? I remember when I almost got my career back. And then... This is amazing. Thank you so much for... Whoa, well, I can't... I didn't get you any... like a pussy coat.
No, that should go on the wall in the studio in our new podcast studio.
Yes, of course
should
it should.
We have a cape of dicks.
This should... Is Planet Hollywood still open? Do you think they would put this...
It's not.
Oh.
When they do your wax figurine, that'll be on you.
Yes.
Oh, quite a variety of dicks.
Yeah, really.
Which is something I never thought I would say in my life.
Three of those look very familiar.
It looks like it's various ethnicities as well.
It's very multicultural, which I appreciate.
Has anyone seen LeVar Burton alive in the last 24 hours?
Oh, no.
Why did you pick the pierced one? That's the...
Yeah, the pierced one.
I don't... Well, I may not... thank you. Thank you. What is your name?
Thank you.
Sandra?
This is what happens when you go to costume school instead of med school.
Well,
gone to med school?
No, that would be so
much worse.
There is a certain amount of med school that would be involved in.
Did you hand mold those?
I did.
What? Wait, what?
Yes, she did. I could.
They're out of play. I was gonna make them. I was gonna do a live cast, but my husband's in Minnesota.
So you made those? So you invited. Oh, penis. I made it out of clay. you made all these by hand?
Yeah, they're all hand-painted. That's...
It's actually the 76 Lakers.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar!
That's really impressive.
I have to look at way too much gay porn to get good resources for knowing what they should all...
Well, listen, if you're watching it anyway, you might as well make a cape out of it. Right? I mean, seriously.
In straight porn, you gotta pause it real fast.
Like I said, my husband's all the way in Minnesota. So
seriously, you can only masturbate so many times before you have to start doing something with your hands. Like, it's perfect. It's perfect. Well, thank you very much for the cape. Someone made Will a cape made out of dicks, too.
It was, they were more interpretable. Yeah.
I want you to know, this is my conversation with my mom earlier. Hey, Mom, I'm gonna be on, like, one of the top podcasts on the net right
is
now.
Is that the one with the dick cape on it?
She didn't know. First of all, that was a horrible Indian accent.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, if I do it, it's racist. I just made a generic old lady.
That's true.
Although your mom's probably not.
I'm just saying that I don't think she thought we were going to talk about recursive shit shows.
No.
And dick capes.
We can cut a lot of that out so it's not super dirty because some of your fans are kids.
Keep
so
it in, Chris, just like the dick cape.
any other questions or gifts? Oh, you're wearing a Cheesy Beards shirt. That's awesome.
Yes.
I love the level of... I love the fact that you can actually go to cheesybeards.info and get the Cheesy Beards website.
Thank you. I try to do as much little detail. I would do more if I actually, season one, I had a whole knightsofgood.com and I had whole conversations between the guild on their fake forums. But, like, it was so hard to keep up. I was like, abandonware. But, like, those little meta things I can do, like, I mean, that just makes me laugh so hard. Thank you so much for wearing
That's
it.
That's awesome. What is your question?
I've seen you guys at two San Diego Comic Cons now, and I've got a lot of friends who just came back from Dragon Con. Said you guys were the best panel.
Hey, thank you.
He was right.
I agree. And this is for you too, Chris. I'm wondering how you guys recover. I've seen you just go full tilt for like 4 days. By the end of it, you've lost your voices. You're totally, you know, just a mess. But you're still greeting the fans. You're saying hello. You're looking great. What do you do when you get done with a con? And I mean, do you just pass out? Do you just put your cape of dicks on, get in a hammock? What do you do?
I just roll around on it, see what happens.
laser limos. We do laser limos.
We are tired. Like, we just got back last night at like 10 p.m. and we were all just
we were zombies, like walking through the airport.
Well, Robin, you guys, was out till like 5 in the morning every single day.
And we were
I even have like man bedroom voice right now. But let's ask Robin this question. What are you?
Yes. Why?
I don't know. I just feel like saying that.
Robin's a party animal. I admire it a lot. So well, you should answer this question.
You keep saying that I'm a party animal, and people are going to get the wrong idea of me.
Or
there's
the right
the wrong
one.
Idea of party animal.
Robin
there's
puts out. I'm singing it because it's true.
I'm a lady.
We just yeah,
she's a lady. She's a lovely lady, you sick bastard.
I mean, listen, we danced. It was really fun for us. Like, we sign a lot, and we do a lot of panels. So we're always up early. But, like, our treat is to be able to walk around. And Dragon Con is kind of unique in this that, you know, there's not, like, the party list. Like, there is a Comic Con where you can't get you could get in maybe one, but you can't have a plus one or you can't have two or you're definitely not
you
getting
can't
your
look
whole crew
in. The
in.
Eyes, like
yeah. And the Dragon Con is a cool, like, totally. Chill crowd where you can – we dance like fools. And I was like – a couple times I was like, please don't take photos of me drinking and looking really dorky right now. But then they were cool, and then we just danced together for 4 hours. So, like, it's just, like, everybody's regular and, like, everybody has – you just have fun with people you just meet on the street. It's, like, so much more fun.
Yeah, Dragon Con is, like – it's like Comic Con with, like, all the corporate bullshit just kind of washed – away.
So we're all just having fun together, and we're all fans of each other. So it's like so much more fun, and those are the best kind of cons. But as far as recovery periods, it's
sleep.
We're struggling. Struggling right now. Yeah.
You can't ever really slow down. I think I don't ever feel wiped out until I slow down. If I keep going, keep going, then you're sort of in that mode. And then I was telling Felicia before the show, like every 6 weeks or so, I'll have a day where I don't have to do anything. And I feel horrible. Like, those are the days when it all just catches up.
You get that existential angst. Like, what am I doing with my life? I haven't cleaned. I mean, this is not clean. This bathroom is not clean.
Yeah.
My fryers are all wrong. And I haven't called my grandma in 8 months. I mean, you gotta have those wake-up moments where you're like, oh, real life is happening while I'm working so hard. So, but then, you know, you recover, and then you get back on track and hopefully reprioritize and play video games, and you're healed inside.
So just really quickly, what's coming up for everyone? Do you guys have anything you want to promote or anything? What's coming up next, Jeff Lewis?
I don't know.
What about your awesome Kickstarter campaign?
Tell me what I was supposed to say.
You raised enough money.
Oh, I raised
tell
money.
Us where you're going to be coming on Faces in the future.
I'm going to be coming on Faces of Dogs. At least, shut up. I'm sorry. I just crossed a line. I'm so sorry. The line was here. We got the money donations from Kickstarter. And so Sean Becker, who's the director of the Guild as well, he directs the Comedy Hour show. And we're going to pass out all these rewards, which we can just sold our soul. There's a lot of awards we have to go through.
His awards were great. One of them was like if you donate like $500 or something, you can come and have a picnic with us.
Oh,
under the Hollywood sign, my wife will cook. What?
How many picnics do you have to do?
I think seven.
Which is
I don't know. I have to Skype dinner too, like with 10 people.
Skype dinner?
Well, Sean and I have to have a dinner where we're Skyping with somebody who donated.
Oh,
I know it's weird.
We're
I'm sorry.
They're fun when you're coming up with them, and you're like. Oh fuck! We have to actually do
all
this. Yeah,
that's why we gotta take semi-nude glossies and.
Do you want to borrow a cape of dicks?
If you don't mind.
I know a fella.
But it's exciting! You're gonna do another season, and you like
raised
$25,000
on Kickstarter, which is
amazing. So after the rewards, we're gonna start shooting the next season. So we're excited.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Is there a mentality? I mean, I think we're hard on ourselves for what we do. Is there a mentality where you feel like? Oh, this thing isn't real because I'm making it, or I raised the money, so it's not like a company that's paying me to do it, but it's a real thing. But do you ever feel a little bit like that sometimes? I feel like that.
After I watch it, I feel like, wow, I like what I see. I mean, I don't know.
It's harder to motivate yourself when you're just doing it for your own goals that you set for yourself versus like having a deadline, like a company has a contract, and I will die at midnight if I do not deliver this video, or like I'm going to do this for myself. That's harder to motivate, but ultimately is more rewarding.
I did a show called The Legend of Neil, which was
yes. The last thing Neil remembers He was drunk playing a game of Zelda. And then he whipped out his member and he masturbated to the fairy in the game.
Because she was kind of hot.
Then he asphyxiated himself with a Nintendo game controller. And that somehow transformed him into the game.
Ah, dude.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah, Chris and Mike. Hard and Firm, they did a cover of our opening theme song, which was just that.
Yeah, that was
an awesome. Yeah, that was the whole. I can't remember what the question was now because that was so fun to do.
When you were doing your own thing, when you did
Leslie
McNeil.
Oh, right. Let's talk about that. Yeah, so I was, you know, there's a point where, because I was doing it for myself with an independent web budget, but for Comedy Central. So it's a very different kind of beast than the Guild in some ways. Which I often envy Felicia, not just because she has hordes of more fans, but because, you know, it's really, you know, she's creating the Guild and it's like, it's for you, you know, you ultimately own the project. Now, Legend Neil did a lot of great things for me and I'm writing a show for Comedy Central, so I'm excited about that.
That's awesome. What are you doing?
Oh, it's a pilot. And hopefully they'll pick it up. But the success of Legend of Neil sort of got me a blind script deal with Comedy Central.
That's great.
Yeah, which I'm excited about. But my thank you.
Congratulations.
Thanks, Woo Guy. But anyway, when you're in the throes, I just want to talk about when you're in the throes of making the show and you're like in the post-production hell and you have these deadlines. And some of them are, like, real, and some of them are imagined. Because then you realize later, like, oh, I could have postponed that 3 weeks. That would have been a big deal. But I went to hell and back to try to get it for that arbitrary deadline we made
six months ago. Because there's not enough people to give you better advice. You know what I'm saying? You're working with two or three people to do this everything that really requires, like, a dozen people to help you to finish this. But so you don't have enough, you know, opinions to help you change your path. You just have to decide something and ruthlessly go after it.
Right, and then someone from Hollywood's like, why didn't you just have your post-production supervisor? And you're like, what is that? Who does that? Yeah. That's just me, you know? So it's hard to recover, but there's nothing more joyous. There's no better feeling than when you sit in the back of Meltdown and watch people watch your show and watch them laugh and enjoy it and know that they're like, they lined up to be here. They, you know, and that's the payoff, right? I don't know.
That's
to
awesome.
Get really sweet and cheesy.
No, it's nice. No, it's good. I mean, it's nice. Can I think part of why your show resonates with people so much is because they get that you have an affection for what you're doing and you have an affection for the community of gamers and that, you know, it's like, and it's authentic because you guys know what you're saying.
Yeah, and I don't hate furries and I don't hate steampunk people. I've had a lot of people like, you have a problem with furries, and I'm like, no. I'm just highlighting the subculture of furries because a lot of people don't know what a furry is. And then steampunk, I mean, they look so pretty. They can't be nice. I mean,
these specific characters, not all.
But also,
yes, I'm not saying every single person who puts steampunk on or loves that subculture is going to be that snotty. It's just those characters happen to be.
But both steampunk and furries deserved to be laughed at, right?
No, Jonah.
What?
Jonah Ray said that. But I think, you know, like the defense is, hey, listen, I make fun of myself just as much as any other character,
exactly.
You know, and so it's like everyone sort of gets the same treatment. We're all under the same microscope.
Yeah, it's not making fun. It's just having fun and being aware, like you're being acknowledged. You have an awesome, you know, passion. You have an awesome way of interpreting the world and an awesome hobby. And I want to show the world that you're cool. And people who might not know what steampunk is now know it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's some people on that. And I mean, I wish I got to wear a steampunk costume.
Yeah, I mean,
why didn't that happen? Why didn't I write that? I wrote that. Whatever.
I just want, like, I think we talked a lot about before, like, oh, it takes a lot of luck. It's a lot of luck when you, and, you know, you were sort of like, no, there's got to be some skill in there when it goes on for that long. I think it takes a lot of care. And that's what Felicia demonstrates is that she just consistently, and that's what I always try to emulate when I make my shows. It's like you just consistently give a shit about everything about how steampunkers will react to your show when you do something. You know, like you just consistently care, and that is so true and authentic that it just rubs off the screen, and that's what people respond to. If because a lot of people want to make web series and like how do I emulate what you guys are doing? It's like, well, just and it's the same thing that we always say, but it's like, no, just genuinely write about something that you truly give a huge amount of shit about.
Yeah. But that's like, anything on the internet, I think. You could tell a mile away when somebody's like, I'm just a douchebag who's using a Twitter to get my own stuff. Like, I think that that is a really good thing. Like, if you care about other people on the internet, it shows. And I feel like coming from it from a more sharing aspect is going to get you farther. Because people, it'll resonate with people. They know, they identify with you.
If you care that much, then there's probably a big audience out there that cares that much as well.
Well, I just think when people always say, like, how do I get more viewers or thing? It's like, well, you know, why don't you worry about giving something that you care about to the community and not trying to take from them?
Right.
And then,
exactly.
You know, and then maybe it'll pay off. But you should, you know, like, it shouldn't. So many people go on and they just want take, tweet, you know, tweet this thing and get this out. And, you know, like, people will ask me questions like, I've been promoting the shit out of myself on Twitter. Like, that's the problem. You can't keep doing, you know, like.
Because if you cared about what you're doing the most, you would do it without. If you had four people,
exactly,
you'll do it with. If you had 10 people who really loved your show, and you love doing it so much, you would still keep doing it.
Yeah,
you know, whatever iteration you could do it, and that shows. It's not about your popularity or your success or what other people perceive you as.
Yeah, and I know this kind of by experience that there, I made some things in the past that didn't blow up in the way that The Legend of Neil did. But then Legend of Neil, we made kind of on a lark. It was just for fun. We weren't trying to necessarily get a million hits or whatever, or trying to make $1 million off of this. We're like, hey, this is just a fun, dumb sketch about a guy getting sucked into Zelda.
You made $1 million off of Legend of
Neil. Did I say $1 million? I meant hits, because I definitely did not make a million.
Hey, remember,
Chuck E. Cheese box.
Remember old internet math? Where you're like, if I just got a dollar for every hit, you're like, it doesn't work that way.
Exactly,
it doesn't
work that way. Because you get 2 cents maybe
if that
for 1,000 hits.
But
my point was just like we just made that on the fly, you know, for $300 out of our pocket for the hell of it, just because we wanted to see a guy get sucked into Zelda, and then that's what took off, you know.
Yeah. Well, what about you Vince, what do you got coming up?
Okay
shit's about to get real.
I'm sorry, just I got so wrapped up I totally forgot we were answering a question. But
talk too much.
No, it was great. Okay.
You're so funny this season, by the way. When you guys get to episode 8, I don't know if it'll be out by this podcast is up. It's literally the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
So what's coming up next?
What's
Vince?
Up with you?
What's up?
You know, I got nothing going on. I have a few things that are sort of like in the works. They're trying to be put together and things pitched here and there, but I have nothing that's really set in stone coming up, at least that I can talk about right now.
Oh.
But hopefully soon it'll be some fun stuff coming down the pipeline.
You've been doing a couple other web series, right? You've guest starred in a couple of things.
Yeah, I mean, and you too were. You were in Awkward Embraces. We were both in Awkward Embraces.
I
did Jeff Lewis
5 Minute
Comedy Hour. That was pretty funny. It was a fun show. And some others that were good. I mean, they were.
It was a fine political answer.
they were web series.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah,
that's it. That's into my answer.
Boy, that reminds me of I knew a girl who used to. She's when people would show her baby pictures, she had what she would call "what a babies," right? And that's when a baby was not attractive, and she'd be like, "What a baby!" you just say what the thing is. That is a baby.
That sure is a baby.
That is a web series.
Look at your kid.
That has a starting and it ends, and it takes up a period of time, and people are in it. People are in it.
Jeff Lewis will show you his baby, and that baby's pretty cute.
Oh yeah, your baby is cute.
My baby's fucking cute.
Yeah. Hey, all right.
Hey, why would I say that?
Though I think you gave it a C, didn't you? C baby.
I gave it a C+ baby.
My baby.
I just.
It's an A+ baby, bitch. That is a fucking cute baby.
I was just harassing you.
I gave it B+.
You have no maternal instincts. That's your problem.
I do.
What?
Come on.
I'm just joking. She has very little.
I mean, 50%.
No, wait a minute. She is totally a mom. When we were back in the green room, Amy was sitting in her lap and she was petting her hair, honest to God. And then everyone, she was like, okay, you guys all, like, she was totally mothering all of you
guys.
She
moms us all the time.
As long as they can poop by themselves. It's the baby thing. I would like to just adopt a 4-year-old so that we can have conversations.
You can play WoW with them.
Well, if I could play WoW with a child, that's a good age starter for me and him. Her.
Robin, what do you got going on?
Just auditioning. I wish I could say I was doing something fun, but I'm not doing anything right now. My voice is so awful. I'm sorry.
We have bedroom voice.
But yeah, the great thing about being on the show is that I have been able to do a couple other web series because of the Guild. And that's a really neat thing that, you know, they contact me and asked me to be on their show, and I'm like, heck yes, let's do this. So yeah. It's just awesome. A neat community, yeah.
Amy, does your dog have any shows coming up?
I wish. I feel like that would be more exciting than if I had something coming up. But same as Robin. I'm auditioning too, and I did do like a little tiny thing on the new show that's coming up. It's not anything like too. I had one line again, like Californication. I had one line. So that comes
I saw
out
that
in
by
January.
The way.
What?
I saw your Californication bit.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
I have
good.
One line. I have another.
Was
one
your line?
Line.
Stop trying to have sex with me, David Duchovny.
I asked them, "Are you single?" That was my one line too.
Seriously, like that show. Listen, you know, whatever. I like David Duchovny, but that pitch must have been like. Okay, here's the deal. So I fuck, I'm this guy, and I'm like 45, 46 years old, and I'm brilliant, and every girl wants to fuck me. What? Every girl. Really? Everyone. That's the whole show, right?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't get to make out with him, but, I mean, yeah, so hopefully the next job I get, I'll have, you know, two lines maybe. Also, someone asked me at the Dragon Con panel if I'm going to appear in the season 2 of Jeff Lewis's comedy 5-minute hour.
You are not.
You should know the
title. You need to know the title, Amy. You need to know the
title.
Learn
the
title
first.
To be in the show.
Tell them no.
Because, me and Cindy.
I didn't get it funded. I'm sorry. It turns out.
Not true. Yeah, right. I tweeted about it every day. I deserve a spot.
You will be in it. Everybody, yes.
Maybe.
But for my $1,000 donation, my premium was that Amy was going to be in your web series.
I got to give you your money back.
I didn't do
we'll
any money
have a Hollywood. Sign picnic.
All right, good. Well, it's incredibly warm here at Meltdown, and you guys have been more than generous with your time, and thank you again for coming out. Please have a huge hand for the cast and the creator of the Guild. Thank you for coming and watching the first 7 episodes. Episode 8 may have posted by the time this goes up. Thank you so much. Felicia Day, Cindy, Vincent, Robin, Amy, Jeff, Jonah, Matt, me, Chris Hardwick. Thank you for coming out. Nerd Melt. Enjoy your burrito, everybody.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast is brought to you by Hover.com. Hover is domain name registration and management that's simple. Upgrade to a premium domain and trade in your old clunkers. Visit Nerdist.hover.com.
For more than 2 centuries, the White House has been the stage for some of the most dramatic scenes in American history. Inspired by the hit podcast American History Tellers, Wondery and William Morrow present the new book, The Hidden History of the White House. Each chapter will bring you inside the fierce power struggles, the world-altering decisions, and shocking scandals that have shaped our nation. You'll be there when the very foundations of the White House are laid in 1792, and you'll watch as the British burn it down in 1814. Then you'll hear the intimate conversations between FDR and Winston Churchill as they make plans to defeat Nazi forces in 1941. And you'll be in the Situation Room when President Barack Obama approves the raid to bring down the most infamous terrorist in American history. Pre-order The Hidden History of the White House now in hardcover or digital editions wherever you get your books.